Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor Austin Schuler helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor Austin with the message.
But today I want to talk to you for just a few moments about the thought of even in the midst. If you're a note taker, I want you to write it down. Even in the midst. Say it with me. Say, even in the midst. You know, I was on a motorcycle road trip this last week for a few days, and we had a bunch of pastors in town. Our pastors, Pastor David and Nicole, actually pastor almost 100 different pastors. We had 70 of them with us here in Florida, and Pastor David is actually preaching for one of them this weekend. And so he's like, hey, let's ride motorcycles up to where, you know, I'm going to be preaching. Let's hang out, and then you can ride back. Man, it sounded great. I'm riding in the sunset on the way there. We have a good time, and then came the time to come home. And we start packing up, we get on the bikes, and I'm like, yeah, this is great. We're gonna come home, I'm gonna preach, it's gonna be a great weekend, it's gonna be awesome. 1 hour in, all of a sudden, there's a thing on a motorcycle called a clutch. If you don't know anything, it's really important. I can't shift, I can't stop, and I definitely can't really go. And all of a sudden, I look down, and I'm running out of gas, and the clutch starts hitting my hand, which is not good. It's supposed to be tight with pressure. And I look at the guy riding with me and I go, this is not good. And he's like, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know what's gonna happen. We pull off, the clutch is not working. It like sputters. I think, how are we gonna get home? Do I need to call an Uber? We're still 3 hours from West Palm. We're an hour away from where we started. What do we do? In that moment, I was surprised. Control was out of my hands. I wasn't really sure of what is going to happen. And so I made a joke with the guy that was with me. And I said, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go over here and I'm just going to lay hands on this motorcycle. I know it sounds cheesy, but I don't know what else to do. So I just lay hands on it and I go, Lord, just do what you can, okay? I know it's a motorcycle. And I go inside and I get a Red Bull and I'm on the phone. I'm like, what are we going to do? And I come out. And the guy that was with me is like, we got tension, let's go. And I jump on the motorcycle, I take off, and I wish I could say that's the end of the story. 3 more breakdowns later, we did make it home, everybody. I'm here today, which is amazing. But now I really feel like I know what Bon Jovi meant when he said, we're halfway there. Whoa, living on a prayer, you know, like, I don't want to live on that prayer, okay? I was just like, thank you, Lord, I'm home. You ever went through something and then you got through it and you're like, I never want to go back to that. I don't want to do that again. And so if I look a little sun-kissed or burnt, it's because your boy was broken down for like 20 or 30 minutes at a time on the highway and it was not fun. But how many of us, that's maybe how life sounds right now. Have you ever thought this? I never thought this would happen to me. How did I get here? How am I gonna get through this? I don't know even how I got in, let alone how I'm gonna get out. But the good news I bring with you today is this, is God is already working out what we're worried about. Oh, I'm gonna say this again because I want you to receive it today. God is already working out what we're worried about. Even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of the unknown, God was working in the middle of it. God actually, I really think, started working on the inside of me as I thought, I need to realize that whatever I ask God, even if it's working on a clutch, on a motorcycle, that he is not limited to the situation. He's limited to what will I give him and say, God, I know you can, so I'm going to submit it to you. God, I know even in the midst of the unknown, I know you're working on it. God, even in the midst of how do I do this? How am I going to get home? You're going to have a process if I would just follow it. You know, in Jeremiah, it says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Psalm 62:8, it says, trust in him at all times. God is a refuge for us. Did that say trust him sometimes? On Monday? Come on, Earth City, during our worship? No, it says it all times. And what I love is there's different Bible stories that even in the midst, maybe you came into a location and you go, yeah, but how will that really correlate? What, how does that overlay into my situation? Well, maybe in the midst of shame, I think about the woman at the well. God turned it around. Even when she was hiding, God still used it and did something great. Even in the midst of sin, God says, hey, I sent my son Jesus so that we could receive salvation and that our eternity can change. Even in the midst of pain, in Psalm it says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Maybe you came in with a little bit of doubt and belief, and where is he in the midst of this thing? And I'm reminded of the man whose son was dying, but Jesus came in and he brought him back to life. I'm telling you, no matter your situation you walked in with, even in the midst of all of it, God gets the glory, but not just the glory. He's given us a roadmap of how to get from here to there. You come in and you go, I don't know if God's in my situation. No, he's not in it. He's before it, he's in it, and he's already after it. So all we have to do is find our way out of the situation. I'm gonna stop with the motorcycle on breakdown one, breakdown two. By the third, I honestly thought, maybe I just don't want to keep going. And the guy that looked at me, he said, we can at least try. And we made it through. Maybe you're not on breakdown number one, maybe you're not on two, maybe you're not on three, maybe you're not on four, but I came here to tell all of our locations today that God, even in the midst, he's for you. Come on, Royal Palm, Ferguson, Fairview Heights, Earth City, Weldon, online, every location. God is not limited to what we believe. He said if we would just hold on to this thing, stir it up on the inside of us. What was that scripture in Jeremiah? Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord and whose confidence is in him. But can we have that faith in the midst? Well, that's what was in the Bible, but maybe for us it's in the setback, the heartache, the injury, the unknown for the job, the do I invest in that company, do I not? What do I do about this thing? Do I keep trusting those people, but you don't know that these three people hurt me? I got in business with these people, but look at what's happening. Now they're taking me to court. Hey, I want to sow a seed towards this business that I can't see myself owning 100 plus units, but if I would just sow a seed, God will provide it and see that I am found faithful, that even in the midst, whether you're in the midst of, hey, I'm in a blessing season, or maybe you're in the midst of, it took everything I had to get here season. I'm telling you that God is in every situation at all time. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And let me tell you this. I'm going to yell this out loud, okay? He's still your provider. Even when you don't feel like you have what you need. And we're going to unpack that a little bit today, but I want to give you this scripture, Romans 8:37. It says, yet even in the midst of all of these things, we triumph over all. Another version in the Amplified. I love the Amplified. It says, yet in all of these things, we are more than conquerors and gain an overwhelming victory. I love that. It doesn't just say victory. It says an overwhelming victory through him who loved us. We have to believe our victory season is upon us. And even if it doesn't feel like it, you gotta wake up and say, it's my victory season. You can't let someone else determine the season you're in. I'm telling you, nobody knows the work you're putting in except you. Nobody knows what it took to get you to church today except you. Oh, come on. I thought somebody would stand up to say the enemy isn't winning today. I'm gonna stand up even in the midst of situation, even in the midst of heartache, even in the midst of I don't know how I'm gonna pay the bills, but I trust God today. Even in the midst of I don't know whether the relationship's gonna last, I trust God today. Because he is my provider. Come on, anybody believe he's your provider today? I have this statement, I want you to write it down, is what you're trying to get through, God is already over. I was trying to get from point A to point B. God already knew the breakdown. Honestly, I looked at the guy I was riding with and he said, maybe God just really wanted to give you a fresh story. I said, he could have just spoke it to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't feel like I really had to ride this thing out. But so many times, maybe God's been trying to speak something to us, but even in the midst, we've actually closed our ear when we think it's open. God, I'm listening. He's like, no, you're not, because you didn't listen to what I said before. You know, I've heard it said that God won't give specific direction until we listen to his general direction. God, send the woman, send the wife, send the relationship, send the man. He's like, great, but I asked you to quit looking here and look here. Be in my church, be found faithful. The scripture says this, that he's looking to and fro who he can find faithful to bless. That's not just finance. That's all of the things that we're praying for. All the relationship, the joy, the grace. God, I want to receive that. And even in the midst, it can be ours. And then I think about this as even in the midst of a situation. And the situation for our main text today is found in John. And I want you to write this down, John 6. And maybe you've probably known it, but it's the feeding of the 5,000. Or you may know it from kids' church as the fish and loaves. And it says this, and sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Later down it says, and Jesus looked up at a great crowd toward them, and he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he had already had in mind what he was going to do. Can I tell you, God will lead you to a place that you have to call on him because he wants to test us in the blessing. Can they receive it? Are they really walking by faith and not by sight? He knew what was gonna have to happen, but he was testing one of his guys to see, hey, can you believe this? Can you have the solution? And Philip answered him, it would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. And another disciple, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here's a boy he has these 5 loaves and 2 fish, but how far will this go amongst so many? Well, the people have him sit down. There's plenty of grass, Jesus says. And Jesus then took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. Okay, catch this. Basically, your boy Jesus says, I know you're bringing me a problem, but I know the solution in this, but I'm gonna test your faith, but go get the boys Lunchable. Look at what he does. When you think the loaves and bread, the loaves and fish, you're thinking a lot. It was the boy's lunch. In one translation, it says that it was his lunch. It was a Lunchable, and he says, bring it to me, I'll bless it, then go feed them. Now also in Bible times, this was not just 5,000. If there's 5,000 men, there were probably 5,000 women with no Netflix. I'm telling you, there was probably 2,000-3,000 kids. I don't know that, but 2 + 2 = 4. I don't, you know. So it's like, what is happening? Thing is I think the disciples were hungry and they were actually coming to Jesus because they wanted to eat. Now he's saying, no, you go feed them. Don't send them away. You feed them. And we actually see it in Matthew through the Gospels. I love it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So we see it from John's perspective. But here's part we see from Matthew. And he says, as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place. They came to Jesus. And it's already getting late. Should we send away the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food? And then Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. See, just because we can't see it doesn't mean that it's not in process or in progress. See, what they saw is, man, how are we going to feed them with this Lunchable? Jesus knew already what was on the other side if they would just be obedient. So they take the Lunchable. Can you imagine it? And they just start feeding. They just start feeding. And what I love is earlier in the verse, it actually talks about how Jesus had went healing all day and it was in a desolate place. They had not traveled. There was no food. Literally, whoever this kid was, thank you for that kid, you know? It's like, smart kid, only person, food. But have you ever had that friend in life? And I could only think that one of the disciples came up to Jesus and was like, yo, what up, Jay? What up, my man? You know, some of the guys, they think, is there gonna be enough left for us? I mean, not me, but they. We've all had this person, right? You know, you've maybe done this. Listen, it's not me. But they don't know. Like, will there be enough? And what I love is it really not only built faith in others, it also built faith in them. Because even in the middle of it, in the midst of it, they had a need, but Jesus, catch what he did, is he had them go serve someone else so that then they could be served. And many times they were in a little bit of a panic, like, how are we gonna eat? But man's panic does not produce God's power. The thing that produced what really God was doing there was their obedience, not panic. Let me ask you this, at all of our locations today, when God gives you something that takes you outside of your comfort zone, do we respond in fear and panic, or do we respond in obedience? Well, this was just enough for my mortgage. Well, this was just enough energy for me to get to church today. Well, this is just an, I don't have any more grace for that person. My grace was used up on my way here. But when God asks us to do something, do we walk forward with panic or do we walk forward with obedience? It makes me think of some friends of ours. They're on an 8-year journey of getting pregnant. And year after year after year, they're wondering, what is going on? Is it just that God doesn't have this for us? Is it we just want this? And then after 8 years, all of a sudden they have a kid. And after one kid, they have two kids. After three kids, four kids. Now let me tell you, they ain't asking for kids. They're asking to stop. Lord, okay, we get, thank you, Lord, we prayed. Now we're asking you to cut it off, okay? Like, we're good. Four and done. But many times while we are worrying and wondering, God's working. I think of what God was preparing them for in those 8 years that now will sustain them with those four blessings that God has given them. Oh, come on, somebody today, what is God blessing you with? You're complaining about the time, but he's saying this is a preparing ground for even in the midst of this thing for the blessing that's on the other side. How we steward the time will also tell how we steward the blessing. Isaiah 12:2, it says this, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." So what does this show us? It shows us that God is faithful. He is faithfulness. It shows us his love. It shows us his power. But not only that, it shows us through him that there is victory. I have a couple points I want to give you today that even in the midst, God is with you in the... Number one is this, he's with us in the unknown. Again, back to one of the scriptures, when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." See, we can never make the decision or really the thought of making decisions in fear. When we make the decision in fear, what can happen is the fear will actually paralyze us from deciding in confidence or really from Godfidence. If our confidence is in him, if our faith is in him, if hope is the anchor for the soul, we have to trust in him in the midst of the unknown. Let me ask you, have you ever had something happen where you're like, whoa, I don't know how, what is going to happen with this? Well, what will happen is fear will paralyze us from moving forward when God's saying, I'm not asking you to take leaps and bounds. I'm just asking you to take a step at a time. But if we don't move forward and we focus on what's going wrong, what can happen is we can just stay there and our perspective really changes everything. Have you ever looked at something in one season it seemed really big and in another season you're like, why did I let that be so big? Well, let this be a reminder to us. Let's learn from it now and not then. You know, my wife, she loves to cook. Loves cook. She's a good cook, by the way. If she ever makes gumbo, run, don't walk. Okay, like, let's go. And she was cooking and we were having some people over and I walked in and I saw the groceries and I'm like, babe, there is no way this is enough. She's like, listen, why do you think it's not enough? I'm like, it's not enough. She's like, it is enough. And I was like, I don't know. She's like, just trust me. So I was like, well, let's have pizza ready on a backup order. Okay, we got pizza ready. And all of a sudden, she cooks. I go home, or I'm going, and then I come back into the kitchen, and I go, whoa, where did all this food come from? She's like, I thought you said it wasn't going to be enough. And I said, I thought it wasn't. But, like, what neighborhood are we feeding here? I don't know how many people we having over. And what I thought in the moment was not going to be enough ended up, I remember afterwards, I'm putting away the Tupperware in the fridge, and she's like, I thought it wasn't going to be enough. I said, stop it. Okay, we get it. You're right. I'm wrong. Listen, if anything, you don't learn anything today. Your wife's always right. Okay, she's always right. But we have to operate. What I love is she doesn't operate from a mindset of just enough. She operates in a mindset of abundance, of knowing that we need to have more than enough. But many times we'll let our conditions stop us where we are, hoping things will get better instead of operating in faith and works, knowing things will get better. And maybe today you walked in and you're in that, and that's okay, because from the unknown, we have to start tracking, point number two, our progress. If you don't track it, you won't know if you're moving. Here's the scripture. And here's a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish, but how far will they go among so many? He's asking, how are we going to feed all of these people with the Lunchable? And Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and he broke it. And again, back to that part, and they were seated as much as they wanted is what they ate. It was not everybody got crumbs. It was they ate until they were full and they didn't ask for any more. How? If I said all of our locations, anybody hungry? We're all eating good today. I packed the Lunchable. You'd be like, what is happening with this dude? Somebody pray for him. Like, that's the perspective. Like, the disciples are walking around. Could you imagine, like, you ever done something and you're obedient, but you're crying at the same time? Like, I don't know if this is going to work out, but I'm just walking by faith. You know, it's like, cracker for you, and here's some fish, and I'm not going to eat, you know? But how many know through the progress of it, they're probably in the middle of it going, how do I still, here's some for you. And here's some for you. That Jesus. Here's some for you and you and you and you and you. I mean, there could be some for me. And they were able to see the markers of progress because when they started, they couldn't see it. But how many know in the midst of this miracle, all of a sudden they probably started like, man, I'm hungry because look at all these people eating. And when the tides rise, it's good for all the boats in the harbor. Come on, somebody. If they're eating good, I'm probably going to eat good. But progress is incredible. I want you to write this down. The key to happiness isn't a destination, it's progress. Have you ever wanted something, you got it, and then it didn't make you as happy as you thought it would? Many times, really the happiest part, so the happiness is not in getting somewhere, it's achieving it on the way. It's seeing progress. You ever been in the gym or tried to lose a little bit of weight and you're like, man, look at all the hard work and what it's doing. Pastor David told me the other day, he said, man, I got a new goal in 2025. I wanna lose 20 pounds. I said, that's incredible. How you doing? He said, 10 pounds. I said, 10 pounds down? He said, nope, added 10 pounds. So here we go. I was like, all right. But progress can tell us where we are. So a few things about progress. Progress, number one, progress builds step by step, not just leaps and bounds. It's not about speed, it's direction. We have to know where we're going. I could do this all day. Well, getting a little, okay, now we're gonna do that. I can do that all day. But you're going, what's this dude doing? I'm spinning, I have movement, but my direction, how many know I can make the same amount of movement if I do this? Because the direction is really more important than the speed. How many know I could even slow it down? I could even, I don't know if I should do this, but, you know, Jesus was probably like, if you watch the Super Bowl, say, disciples. If you don't get it, it's okay. I shouldn't have done it. Don't tell PD, okay? Anyways, all right. Here's the thing is all y'all understood it, okay? That's how I know we family. Oh, I'm getting myself in trouble. Anyways. Oh man, I'm just thinking of the text I might get. Okay, long-term progress is greater than short-term results. Think long-term, not short. And we have to celebrate progress. Celebrate the small. When's the last time you told yourself you're doing good? When's the last time you said, you know what, I may not be where I want to be, but I'm doing better than I was? Hey, I may not. It's not about competition. Look what they're doing and look what I'm doing. No, it's look what God is doing in me. My competition isn't about anywhere else. It's about God. Can I be faithful? Can I be obedient? It's like what we tell our teams. It's not about the locations. It's about the church overall. It's about the capital C church. How are we pulling together to create community? And so many of us, we actually overvalue the immediate results and we underestimate the progress God is making. We need to make sure we're watching. I love this quote from John Maxwell. Don't create a finish line because when you finish, you're telling yourself you're done. Instead, create markers or points that as you achieve, you move on to the next. Progress isn't just I get there and I'm done. Progress says I know God has a gifting in me and I'll continue to do more and more and I will be found faithful in what he's called me to do. The third and last point is this. even in the midst, God is in the process. He's in this process with you and I. We can see progress, but how many know as you see progress, you start to trust the process more overall? As they were feeding them, they're like, whoa! You know, I can only imagine as they're doing it, they're going, wow, look at what God is doing. This is miraculous. We really are. We're almost done, Eric. We are gonna get to eat, guys. Jesus was right. And I love in the verse 12, it says, when they had all had enough to eat. Again, the crowd didn't just have a little bit. It said they had enough. One version says they ate until they were full. And he said to the disciples, go gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and they filled 12 baskets. Not they went and got scraps and there was just a little bit for them. They filled 12 baskets till they were full with the pieces of bread and fish. And what can happen is if we focus on what happened, we'll miss the opportunity on what could be. Well, man, we're gonna go out and we're gonna get the scraps. I hope there's enough. And then they bring the 12 baskets back and they go, it's more than the Lunchable. There's gonna be so, we're gonna eat until we're full. We're not just gonna get a little bit to eat. And back to Romans I gave you at the beginning, even in the midst of it and all of these things, we triumph over all of them. How many things did we bring into a location today that right now you're thinking about your bills, your house, your car, the relationship, the thing that separates you from God? But God's saying, even in the midst, I am with you. I am for you. I'm telling you, if you would just believe his word, you'll triumph over all. Even in the midst of the situation, all of these things, he's faithful. So what do we look at in the process? Well, we have to start where we are. So many of us, we stop. No, I want to encourage you, just start. Start somewhere. Don't allow fear to stop you. And the second part of process is choose progress. Because as you follow the progress within the process, we get encouraged because progress is really a choice. Have you ever followed a process and stopped? My wife, I came into the kitchen the other day, and she had this flour and dough and sugar and chocolate chips, and she's like, you want some of this? And she was in the mixer bowl. I was like, no, that looks disgusting. I don't want any of that. And I left the room, and I came back, and to this heavenly smell, I said, what is that smell? And she said, oh, these deliciously golden brown chocolate chip cookies? And I said, I'm going to have to partake in this. But the process, when I came in, it hadn't finished yet. But when I came back in, all of a sudden there had been progress, and I'm telling you, I ate one of those cookies. I ate two of those cookies. I ate three of those cookies, and that's where we're gonna stop. But we can't live in the past, worry about the future, and expect to enjoy the present. Many of us, we're worried about the present, past, and the future, and we're not enjoying the present because we're too far looking like this. Well, what about in the past? Well, thinking about yesterday, well, what did they say? Well, why did they say it? I'm still hurt, but God, I really want you to move me forward. He's like, forward's that way. Even in the midst of it, we have to make sure we are aligned with the right direction, because as we follow forth this process to then see progress, that even in the midst, God will move, but he can't really move with us focused in the wrong way. The process has to be directed in the right way, because our future begins when we stop really discussing the past. Okay, God, thank you for my past. My past got me to here, but the best is not behind. Come on, how many believe the best is yet to come? The best is yet ahead. If it's not good, he's not done. I want to give you one last story, and then I'm almost done. My mother, some of you may know, some of you may not, she went through a cancer diagnosis when I was a young boy, and I'll never forget walking by her bathroom, and ladies, maybe you do this, she would write with lipstick on the mirror, and it would be scriptures and encouraging words, and I would walk by not knowing what was going on, and I would see it, and I would see her praying, God, I believe for healing from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. God, your word is true, and it is yes and amen, and I believe it today, and I'm like, yes, girl, you do that, that's good. not knowing, I was learning how to handle a situation that when I got older, I found out what she was going through. And I thought, Lord, thank you for parents who don't just discuss the negative, but they show a positive influence of saying, Austin, this is how you get through the midst. This is how you get through a situation. This is how you find healing. Oh, come on, in every location today, I want you to get up on your feet and believe that even in the midst of the situation, God can turn it around. Even in the midst of that relationship, God can turn it around. Even in the midst of lack, God can turn it around. Somebody say it with me. Say, even in the midst.
Even in the midst.
Oh, say it again. Say, even in the midst.
Even in the midst.
I feel like a lot of us today are going from fear to faith. I feel like a lot of us are starting to speak to the mountain and really understand who the mountain mover is. That even in the midst, this thing can move. Even in the midst, this thing can change. And I want to pray for you today at every location. If you've walked in and you're like, man, I needed this today, every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you and you say, I'm in the midst of something, I'm in the midst of needing a blessing, I'm in the midst of wondering what is next, would you just be faithful today? Would you just go out and say, hey, I want to raise my hand today. If that's you, just raise your hand, every location, raise it, raise it, raise it. Almost every hand here. Come on, I know it's there at your location. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you right now that even in the midst, we know you are with us. God, and that is reassuring because we trust in you, God. We trust in the Lord with all of our heart. We lean not to our own understanding. We acknowledge you in all of our ways, God. Father, I thank you for the healing that is in every location today. That God, we ask you to move in power. God, I pray over every person today that was wondering, God, I'm wondering what to do. How do I make that? What do I make the decision? God, I ask you to give it to them this week. Give them the understanding. God, you said that you would be a light to their path and a lamp to their feet. God, that if they would ask in your name, you'd give it to them. God, give them supernatural wisdom. God, we pray for mailbox money, unexpected checks, unexpected blessings. God, I pray over every location today during this year of Grace Multiplied that you're going to start giving those God winks and God blessings in ways we couldn't even understand. We believe it, we receive it. Even in the midst, God, we triumph over all. In Jesus' name, come on, and everybody said amen. Well, hey, I want you to be seated for just a moment. I'm almost done. And Pastor David, the Lord had spoke to him recently. And if you've been here the last few weeks, the Lord said, hey, the last 4 minutes of each week to teach his people about tithes and offerings. We really don't typically talk about it a lot, but the Lord got on to Pastor David and he and I were talking the other day and he's like, hey, I want you to continue this. And I think it's a great opportunity because I think about the Lunchable. Really more than this, if you look at it, is the Lunchable was a seed. And as they sowed the seed, it brought forth blessing to others and not just others to them. It makes me think of this scripture in Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. So many times you go, well, what does that look like? Well, it's the fish and the loaves that God can do something with so small that can make a huge impact. Well, why do we do our tithes? Well, tithe is the 10% of our increase. So that's the lights. That's what makes this happen. The school, every location, your air, your heat. But then the offering is above and beyond the tithe. And let me ask you this, now that we've learned about the fish and the loaves, we've learned about the impact that a small seed or a seed in our hand can make, let me ask you this. I'll come over here. I like this camera. I see you. Should I, knowing the impact this could make, if I went and used it, 12,000, I want to hear from you, every location, I want you to tell me, should I eat the Lunchable myself? Or should I feed the 12,000? Which one? 12,000? Tell me, 12,000 or one? 12, one, two, three. Should I eat it? That Oreo cookie looks good. You see it? They did some good marketing on here. Well, when you understand it that way, you go, no, 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 make the big impact because after we fed the 12,000, they had enough. They have more than originally what they started with. And really, that's how tithes and offerings work is when you start to trust God, even with you go, oh, is there going to be enough for me? He doesn't bless the panic, he blesses the obedience. And some of us, we've never given before. Last week, I was looking through a report of about 27 people who started giving for the first time, and it tells me you're starting to really understand what God can do in your obedience of tithes and offerings. And not just that, what I love is God cannot bless what we don't give to him. If we hold it, if they would have held on to it, not even ate it, it would have fed nobody. If they would have consumed it, it only would have fed them. But when they sowed it, Jim, it fed all plus them. He took the seed of the Lunchable and he created a feast for all. Today, when you give of your seed, God says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. He sees that he can bless you, that you're worthy of the blessing, but not just that, God can do a miraculous in you. It's not about an amount, it's about obedience. It's not just about what's in your hand, it's what can God do in and through you. This is my last thought about tithes and offerings. Pastor David, one time we were at a Taco Bell, and I was so hungry. We had been rehabbing a property, and we went to Taco Bell, and we were in line, and this kid was in front of us. And he's like, hey, I got about 20 bucks, so see what you want. And I was like, okay, so you know me. I'm like, well, if I get that and that and that, that's right about 10 bucks. You know, I could work this out. And you're probably thinking like, 20 bucks? How in the world did you guys eat for 20 bucks at Taco Bell? This was a different time, okay? And so we go up, and we're picking out, and the kid put change on the countertop. And I watched Pastor David show generosity to this kid. And he bought the kids lunch. And he taught me right then, he said, Austin, generosity, one of the ways when we give, God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. Now, let me be clear. Blessing that kid was not our tithes and offerings. That was in the overflow of the blessing God had given us. But if you want to create opportunities like that, you have to start small with saying, God, here is my 10%, here's my tithe, here's my offering. Then God blesses you so you can go doing amazing things. And believe it or not, so many of you have been generous. And if you haven't been yet, start doing it. Start trusting God. But what I love is we don't give to a church. We give through a church. And so many things that you've been a part of, you may have not even known about, that have been going on here, you're making impact. And we want to show you a video of what you've been making happen. Check this out.